Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We explore important aspects and areas of life, including spiritual, business, sales, disabilities, relationships, and so many more topics. My name is Tom Tutaw Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter, which goes out to about 50,000 people around the world. I recently spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now, and I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, which makes me sound like a spider, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". Sometimes I lie and say 5'2". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite those physical challenges, my guest today and anyone who knows me knows very well that I always answer amazing when asked how I am doing. I tell people 80% of the time it's true, and the other 20% of the time it's to remind myself that it's true. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication, and we're the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website, which is tall.com. It is my really, really, really great pleasure to have as my guest today Grace Jose, and she is a friend of mine. She's been going to the same church as me for a long time. I know Grace very, very well. She is a CAPPA Canada, which stands for Childbirth and Postpartum Professional Association Certified Labor Doula, and is a childbirth educator and prenatal instructor. She has her World Health Organization 20-hour lactation management certification, as well as being trained as an official hypnobirthing doula. She is the mother of 3 beautiful girls, one who recently just got married, and has an amazing supportive husband, Danny, who is also an amazing guy, as I also know. She has experienced 3 very different births of her own, 1 epidural, a natural childbirth, and a cesarean. And so Grace understands the anxiety and confusion that can sometimes be associated with childbirth and the choices involved with labor and delivery. That is why she is so passionate about labor and delivery and believes that every woman deserves the best, most fulfilling birth experience possible. Grace has supported families in the Halton Peel region as well as the greater Toronto area through labor and delivery. She has served on the board of her community residents association, reaching out to families in her community, and has led a support network for married couples through Heartland Church, a church connected. My wife and I attended that marriage enrichment group, and we really, really loved it. She currently volunteers on the welcoming committee at her church, as well as on the parent council at her daughter's school, and she loves spending time with her very busy, very, very busy family, playing volleyball, ultimate frisbee, and traveling. Welcome to the show today, Grace.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
That is quite an introduction. As you know, we've been friends for some time, and when I first saw the sign on your truck, I wondered, what is a doula? I had never heard of that before. And so can you explain, the intro explained it, but where does that word come from, and how did you get interested in becoming a doula?
Yeah, I think that's the Jeopardy $1,000 word question that everybody asks me when they ask, what is a doula? And so it's always a great conversation starter. The word doula is actually derives from the Greek meaning a woman's servant or a woman's slave. And And really, it's developed from that into a newer meaning of a birth assistant and basically a birth coach. So a doula is someone that goes alongside a pregnant woman throughout her pregnancy, provides emotional, informational, and physical support throughout the pregnancy and throughout labor and the postpartum period. So we come alongside women and we provide information about the pregnancy. We provide information about birthing and labor options, either at home through the midwives or at the hospitals through their obstetricians.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about policies and things like that, things to expect. And then we help them to format somewhat of a birth plan, something getting them to think about with these options, what appeals to them, what is something that they would like to see their birth unfold and how that might look for them. And then we come alongside and help them to develop that, put that in writing, and then we encourage them and empower them throughout that labor process through various techniques that we use, whether it be physically massaging, asking or advising them or suggesting different positions to help promote faster labor,
mm-hmm.
To become more comfortable. We have little tools and techniques that we use. So various different techniques.
And it's what an amazing idea. Coaching is a huge industry in this day and age. It is growing, and everybody, athletes have coached. Tiger Woods has coaches, mm-hmm. although probably not doing as well as he used to. But, you know, what an amazing thing to think about, to have a birthing coach, because I imagine there's probably a lot of conflicting advice and conflicting ideas about the birth process and being pregnant, and it would be nice to have a coach to say, listen, I read this, or my grandmother told me this, mm-hmm. and, you know, what do you think of it? And so it's kind of nice to have a coach that way, because do you find that people get a lot of conflicting ideas and advice and read different things on birthing and being pregnant?
Absolutely. That, and also some people have absolutely no knowledge of birth except for what they basically see on TV. So they might, you know, watch a show or a movie that Hollywoodizes what pregnancy and labor and birth would look like. So we have a huge difference between, you know, people who have very little information and then people who have so much knowledge that it's overwhelming. So it is nice to have someone there who can help filter through that and help them to discover what is important to them and to let them know what their options are and how to achieve that.
I'm glad you mentioned the TV one, because I interviewed a private investigator that my wife uses in her law practice or with her lawyer she works with, and the private investigator said the same thing. People get most of their ideas about a private eye from what they see on TV, and it is totally, absolutely illegal and wrong, most of what they see. So anybody who's getting their childbirth advice from shows they see on TV probably needs a coach.
Yes, I would agree.
Now, Grace, I talk to a lot of people and help a lot of people define what's called a definite purpose in their life, where they truly, truly, truly find what they're passionate about and then are able to work on it, either as a living or as a hobby. It took you some time, because I know you're not in your 20s. Having three kids will tell people that. How did you come upon deciding that, wow, I really, really love this idea and to become a doula?
Well, I became a doula officially in 2009. However, about almost 6 years ago, I would say, would probably be the moment, the pivotal moment in my life where I knew that my first thoughts were, I think this is something I might actually really want to do. So I'll backtrack a little bit, and because it was at that time I started to reflect on my own birth experiences and how that impacted my decision to become a doula. So my own birth experiences were I would say very typical of what kind of the medical managed birth experiences are in North America and in a lot of places in the world. Whereas you're pregnant, you see a doctor. You know, you are given some prenatal information, minimal information. You spend very little time at your prenatal appointments, don't have a lot of time to ask questions, and go home and hope for the best. And so labor begins. You're not sure what's happening, especially for a first baby. And a lot of fear, anxiety begins because you don't know what to expect. And you rush off to a hospital, and you're often at the mercy and care of the health professionals there. So hospitals, to me, are a place for sick people to go to get well, and then have now become, in this century or last century, have now become a place where mothers go to have healthy babies. And so in my own experience, I don't remember being given a lot of options, and so therefore had an epidural, had to have the epidural 3 times because it wasn't taking on very well, and unfortunately didn't work very well, and so I felt, half the birth, however, wasn't able to move because half my body was paralyzed, not, physically paralyzed, but actually on the epidural. So it was not a very good experience. My partners at the time were trying to be as helpful as possible, but really didn't know how to support me as well. So it made the whole experience it was memorable, but not in a positive way. Of course, the birth of my daughter was amazing in that sense. So that was the positive that comes out of that is that you get this beautiful child. However, the process of getting there was not beautiful. So several years later, I had my second child, very similar experience, didn't, do a lot of research, but I'd been through it before, so just expected that I would go to the hospital, do the same thing, but had this back and forth process. So I went to the hospital, I came back home, went to the hospital thinking I'm in labor, came back home because I wasn't in labor, and so there was a lot of confusion, not sure what my body was doing and when the actual time would was. And so I actually spent, when my body actually went into labor, I actually spent a lot of that time at home laboring on my own, laboring in my tub, and really spending a lot of time helping myself to relax, to breathe, to be in the moment. And I think that it was at that moment that I really realized, wow, I'm doing this. I'm doing this in a peaceful, calm environment. However, of course, I needed to go to the hospital at some point to have my baby, so I did, and my husband drove me to the hospital, and I remember at that time feeling extremely anxious again because there was a lot of rushing and a lot of getting me checked in and a lot of IVs and a lot of medical interventions, and I didn't really know what was going on except that I was going to be having my baby. And so at that point, it was a very quick delivery, and it was a natural delivery because I got to the hospital. I had labored at home most of the time, got to the hospital quite advanced in my labor, and therefore 45 minutes my daughter was born. However, the OB that was attending me and the nurses that were attending me, again, were not the most graceful people, and so that again made my experience not a great one at the hospital. So in saying all that, those were my experiences. I was in a completely different field of work at that time, and so never gave that much thought again. So about 9 years ago, there was a tragic event that happened in my life that really made me reflect and think about life and think about what I wanted to do with what I had seen as a new part of my life. How was I going to move forward in my life, given the circumstances that I was in? And it was at that time that I started to reflect about what I wanted to do, and I started really exploring again and looking looking within myself, you know, asking God and really searching for what would be, you know, the right career choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I decided I was going to go back to school and get my, you know, get some education. And so I started to do that. I attended the University of Toronto. I was in a sociology program there. And during that process, I remember about almost 6 years ago, a friend of mine asking me I had three daughters. I only told you two stories. The last daughter, a friend of mine had introduced me to midwifery. And so she had told me about, because she had known my first two experiences, she had told me about midwifery and suggested that I work with a midwife. And so I did. I worked with a midwife, and she was an amazing it was a completely different experience prenatally. So my appointments were much longer, a lot more information, and it was fantastic. However, at about 36 weeks, I was told that my baby was breech. So that means the baby's head is up and the baby's feet are down. And as we know, that's not the most common way a baby is born.
Yeah.
And so I had to be transfer of care to an OB again. So at that point, I was transferred to an OB and ended up having a cesarean section. However, my nurse was with me alongside my husband, my midwife was with me alongside my husband. And she really took on the role of a doula at that point. A lot of emotional support, a lot of reassurance, and then baby care afterwards. And so, so again, although it was not a good experience as far as having a cesarean, it was a much better emotional experience, I would say. So that brings me to 6 years ago when I was on this journey of rediscovery of career paths and whatnot. A friend of mine asked me to attend a birth, and so I agreed, and I did, and I thought it was the most amazing, wonderful experience I'd ever been a part of. The miracle of birth was just—I was in awe, and so that began my journey of thinking, well, this is really nice. This was a really great thing to be a part of. And shortly after, I had a family relative who asked me to be part of her birth experience and so be her birth coach. And so I said, well, sure. And I said, I wonder if this is a job. So I knew a midwife was obviously a career path, and I thought about that. But I actually looked into whether or not this birth coach was a career path. And so I did. I did some research, and lo and behold, the name doula came up. And I asked that question, wow, a doula, I never heard of that before. And that is what began the journey of looking into becoming a doula.
Wow. And isn't it exciting when people find their real passion? This isn't even a job or a business for you. This sounds like something you love. And unfortunately, it's often later in our lives, in our 40s or so, that we meditate, think about, and have enough experiences in life to know that, wow, this is something I'm passionate about and I can actually make a living at. And so one of the things, statistics I quote, and you probably won't like it because your son or your daughter and son-in-law have more initials after their name than in their name, but 80% of people 5 years out of college or university are working in a totally different field than what they studied in. And that's because we have these experiences in life and through our life where finally some people, not everyone, come to the point where they're like, wow, this is something I love. And so this is probably not a job to you, even a business, is it? It's something that you just feel tremendous purpose and passion for, to help others experience what is the most beautiful experience in their life, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone who's in our industry really knows that it's a labor of love. It's really not a labor of money. it's a labor of love. It's something that we do because we're passionate about it. Of course, we do try to make a career out of it, and there are other avenues that we use, other ways that we use, other things, other career or other roles that we can play that help to kind of supplement income and to within that same field. And so because we are limited as to how many births we can do in order to be effective at our job, right?
Right.
We can't be on call for, you know, 6 or 7 births a month, because we would be overlapping in births, and then that would go against the purpose of being that sole support person for that person, or being that support person from the beginning to the end for a laboring woman if you have to use a backup, right? So so we don't take on that many births. So it is a labor of love.
Now, one thing I was thinking about, I wrote down here, we know, I know, you know, we read it in the bio, you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But have you come across, there must be different people from different cultures and countries maybe that are now in Canada, and different faiths? They must have different ideas, tradition, culture around being pregnant and the birth process. Have you been involved with some of these different cultures and what they think, and how maybe it's different from what we think in Canada, and maybe even different faiths, what some of their beliefs are about the process?
I find that people that are from, I'd say, Eastern cultures have a philosophy of having a lot of people around in birth.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a normal process, is that when you're laboring, you're not laboring alone. You're laboring with many women. And so, therefore, I have a lot of, East Indian clients that will come to me or hire my services, and it really is because they have a belief that it's important to have people around you, and that's not the society that we live in here in North America. We go into
No.
the hospital room, typically you have one support person that comes with you, either a partner or a husband or whoever it is that's, you know, coming alongside of you, or a mom or whoever, and you have your healthcare team. Unfortunately, the healthcare teams are great in what they do, but they are clinical, and they are there to provide medical support. And because of the short staffing and so many other issues, it leaves such little time for, I think, what so many nurses also love to do, which is provide that informational or physical or emotional or spiritual support to patients. There's just not that time. So it's great to be able to do that. And I see women of different faiths and different cultures. They do have different practices. I've had the privilege of supporting many women of many different faiths. Some of the Christian women that I've been able to support often bring prayer into the labor room with them, and I've had women singing throughout labor. So I've had women singing praises, quoting scripture. And praying, and even having an additional support person in the room, such as a mom or someone else in a corner, just praying over them. And I see the power of that, and it's amazing. And I've seen other cultures, and they too have their own little traditions and their own little things that they do that signify, you know, this is an important passage of life, I guess. So it might be a little prayer after the baby's born, or something like that. But you know, I see it, to be honest with you, I see it more in a Christian environment than I do in other faiths. So I have noticed, though, in other faiths, especially in Eastern culture, a lot of people being involved, lots of people in the waiting room, a lot of people very excited about the birth of the baby, mm-hmm. the community event.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And both of us have studied and led support groups through our church, and then Napoleon Hill talks about a mastermind, which is basically people you choose to be involved in your goal, or in this case, giving birth. And when we led support groups, it was for people with challenges, but it's almost the same thing when you have a support group when you're going through labor and having a child. It must give a lot of confidence. It must give a lot of pride to the woman going through the process that, boy, there's a lot of people that love me and are going to love on my baby, and, you know, it's not just me going through this. And so that must be a really great feeling for people when they can be uncomfortable during labor and giving birth, to know that, you know, I'm going through some uncomfort, but there's a lot of community around me that are looking forward to this and encouraging me and supporting me. And so that must be a tremendous feeling for people. And as you said, it can be different than, you know, here in North America, where we have like one person in the room, and if it's the father, you know, hopefully they don't pass out, or you know, not turning green in a corner or anything like that. And so kind of cool to see how different cultures view the birth process, and different faiths view it. And now another thing you've mentioned a few times, and I really love this one, the healthcare experience. My mom became a nurse when I was in my 20s. She became a nurse, registered nursing assistant. She didn't want to be a registered nurse because her passion was to be beside the bed of people, talking to them, supporting them, encouraging them, helping them, which RNs spend a lot of time in paperwork. And I'm sure you will not be surprised by this, but I've seen at least half a dozen doctor's charts referring to me as a non-compliant patient. And that means I don't always do what they say. I have enough mind and maybe enough stubbornness that if it doesn't sound right or go according to what I believe, I'm not going to do it. And yet a lot of women giving birth or having birth, especially in North America or Canada, where their doctor is their god of the birth process, they don't know that you can not do what your doctor says, or that perhaps it's just his opinion and not actually fact. Mm-hmm. And so nice to have a doula that can help you where, and as you experience, I have amazing surgeons, but after the surgery, they'll come in for like 38 seconds the day after and each day, and how you doing? Great, here you go, sign this form, do this charting, see you tomorrow. You're like, okay, thanks for the info. Mm-hmm. And you have to rely on nurses or whoever stands at your bedside for more than 1 minute to ask them questions. And so it's nice to have a doula who you can give that support to and answer questions and say that, you know, that's your doctor's opinion. That isn't, you know, law or necessarily fact. And so that must be something you have to do. It's something you experience as somewhat of a negative. Nice, in Canada, all this costs us nothing, and we have amazing hospitals. But as you said, their bedside care, the clinical part of it, isn't a great feeling when you're having the most amazing experience of your life, or should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I think that wonderful that, you know, medical advancements have, you know, come so far that they can do so many great things, surgeries and heal, you know, heal diseases and when in birth, when there are complications, serious complications that, you know, medical advances have been able to save mothers' lives and babies' lives, and that's amazing. However, there are a very low percentage of women that actually would need medical interventions or would need that, those kinds of emergency care if left to labor and birth her baby in a calm, supported environment, and safe environment, and safe meaning without the threat of interventions, unnecessary interventions. I know the there's an organization called The Farm in the United States. That's a group of midwives that they're I believe they're Ina May Gaskin is a world-renowned midwife. I believe the farm's cesarean rate is less than 5%. That's a huge difference compared to what North America is, which is at least in the in the high 20s percentage of cesarean sections, and that's just been climbing and climbing and climbing over the years. So the more interventions we have, the greater the C-section rate is, and the more it costs healthcare as well and taxpayers. So I believe, you know, that my role is to empower women. It is to provide them information. But once they have that information, one very important part of my job is to encourage them through to help them to believe in themselves, to help them believe in the birth process, to help them trust their instincts and their bodies to do what it's meant to do, what it's been created to do. And that's a really hard hurdle to get over for a lot of women. And so when you're constantly bombarded with information about what can go wrong, you start to believe that it will go wrong, and you forget to trust in the natural process of what your body was created to do.
Exactly, and this is a lot of positive thinking that I teach, is that if you think on the negative things, either someone puts them in your mind or you focus on them, you can tend to bring it about when like 99% of the experience should be positive. Now, Grace, my sister lives in New Hampshire, and she has three kids, and when she had them, she went to, it was a hospital, but I think they call it a birthing center within the hospital. And I've seen pictures of the room. It doesn't look like a hospital room. There's, I think the kids, the first few that they had for the last one, they stayed there for a night.
Right.
It looks like an apartment. And then my sister had her birth in a pool or in a tub or something. And only a midwife was there. There was no doctors, no nurses, was not a clinical setting. But, you know, they were just, you know, down the hall or next floor or something. If, as you said, there's challenges, you know, where you need that medical care. And from what I heard, it was just a tremendous experience compared to a clinical, being in a whatever operating room or studio on an uncomfortable bed. And, you know, her husband was there. Only the midwife was there. And something to do with the water part of it, too. My sister said it was like an amazingly amazing experience, and not the pain and gnashing of teeth and screaming that I see on TV. And so do we have those kind of places in Canada as well?
Well, I know that Quebec has operating birth centers currently, and have been running very successfully. And Ontario has now approved the opening of, I believe, a couple of two or three birth centers in Ontario. So that's a great step forward. And of course, their initiative, you know, the purpose to do this is to take some of the cost or some of the burden off of the healthcare costs. So
yes,
the difference between having a midwife and a natural birth with a birth that's supported by an OB at a hospital with interventions is it's a fraction of the cost to birth naturally. So it is something that Ontario is now on board and starting to do, but I'll tell you that two birth centers is not enough. It's going to take a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Going to take a lot more midwives. The transfer of care from OBs back to midwives is going to be a process that's going to take some time, but it's really, really doing. It's getting there. It's starting to really start to shift again, and that's I think the direction that we need to go. So
yeah.
So I think that's
a unique
very
thing,
positive
and
experience.
And I hadn't thought of it, but yeah, it would lower like the cost of being in a hospital. So it will lower our healthcare costs and create a better birthing experience and also very, very, very likely cut down on the cesarean rate. And so I think the two centers will just be to prove how much it
That's
does
right.
save.
Yeah,
and then
pilot
from
project.
There. Exactly. And then it should grow from there because, you know, our healthcare system can be overwhelmed with cost and not having enough beds. And this would be a great pilot project. And I'm sure it'll prove many, many things that you are already trying to prove. The one thing I think of is that anytime you try to take something away from a doctor that they feel they are the God and they are needed for this process, you will have pushback from the medical community.
Sometimes, yeah. However, gynecology and obstetrician and obstetrics are the profession that is not as many young doctors are going into. And so we're looking at perhaps a bit of a crisis in childbirth and maternity care because you've got this lowering entrance and or interest in going into gynecology and obstetrics, and we've got a lot of doctors retiring, and so there's a real need for more midwives to become trained and to have more centers open specifically for those reasons. So I think this is a natural. This is something that's naturally and happening, and it's a really positive thing.
Wow, exactly. Now, I was thinking of my sister and having her birth in this pool or whatever it is of warm water. And with my arthritis, when I'm in a pool, I have way less pain and my joints move in a range of motion that's like, wow, I can move my knee like that. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the birth process? Is it the same? Is there less pain and some more natural way for a baby to come into a fluid environment rather than into this freezing operating room or whatever they call it?
Well, so first, babies generally, if they're born in a hospital, they are born in birthing suites for the most part. So hospitals are doing their part in trying to also create environments that are a little more personable and less clinical looking. So that's a positive for the hospitals. I would say there's a lot of them under construction or doing new renovations. There's currently one hospital in Toronto, Sunnybrook Hospital, that's actually allowing for water births. And so this is a really positive thing. Definitely being in water promotes less pressure on the joints. It allows for more flexibility. The heat of the water helps with pain, helps the body to relax. Your body becomes more buoyant, so a belly rises, baby rises, takes off pressure off of the pelvis, and so takes some of that pressure off of the back as well. The belly kind of floats up, and so it relieves some of the pressure from the back. So for those reasons, it does create a more comfortable experience during labor. A lot of hospitals actually have birth laboring tubs. And unfortunately, you can't birth in the tub. Some of them aren't big enough, or the practice is just insurance for insurance purposes. They're just not allowed to do it with the obstetric team. So, like I said, Sunnybrook's the first one. These birthing centers will have that option as well. And, of course, women who have midwives and have home births are able to birth in their tub as well. And so that's definitely an amazing option for women to have, is to birth a baby. Baby's living in amniotic fluid for 9 months, floating around in the mother's uterus in an amniotic sac full of liquid. So to be born into liquid is very natural. And as soon as the baby is brought out of the liquid, the lungs begin to work and they take their first breath, and it's quite incredible.
Wow. Now, I have only ever heard of midwives. And if I'm a marketing person, business person, I would think I'm going to be a midwife because people can see doula on the side of my van, but they're going to wonder, what the heck is a doula? And people might, if they're Google searching, they might search midwife more often than they would doula. So what is the difference between a doula and a midwife?
Yeah, well, midwife is such an ancient term and in such an ancient profession. So, of course, people are so much more familiar with the term midwife. They are very different. A midwife is basically a medical professional without the ability to perform any surgeries or anything like that. She is clinical. So this is a woman who has to have a degree in midwifery in Ontario. Performs examinations. So she will do blood pressures, order exams, order tests, order ultrasounds, prescribe supplements to take during pregnancy. She will do internal examinations to examine the cervix to see, you know, how the cervix is changing nearer to full term. She will do the examinations and actually do the actual birth itself. So as the woman, well, I always say a woman births her baby. Doctors don't birth the babies. Or,
right.
You know, they catch the baby.
God births
there.
The baby. God and the woman.
That's right. That's right. So as a woman births her baby, she performs clinical tasks, as in catches the baby, performs any repairs or anything that needs to be done, delivers the placenta, and disposes of all that, and then does some baby care afterwards. So does some postpartum care with the mom, and that's clinical as well. So you know, blood pressure checks, checking for bleeding, things like that, making sure the uterus is going back to normal size, and then, you know, so she's very clinical. So a midwife is very clinical. But has a different spin than the doctor. They do spend a lot more time with their clients. They provide a lot more information, have a much more holistic approach to birth. And,
right.
But a doula is non-clinical, so we don't do any exams. We don't do any medical blood, you know, we don't do blood pressures or check your temperature or do any cervical exams or anything like that. We are solely there for the purpose of providing emotional support, making recommendations to help to progress labor along naturally by recommending different positions to take, different things to do during labor, and doing massaging techniques, providing some relief also for the partners involved. So if you've got the dad there and, you know, he's gone to prenatal classes, but, you know, maybe that was 3 months before the birth and now he's forgotten everything and he's tired and exhausted. And so your doula is there to help relieve some of that pressure off of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't,
or he could
have
be passed out in a corner, turning green.
He could be, or not in the room at all, which I've had similar experiences with some of the dads. But it really, I have to tell you, it's oftentimes my referrals come from dads. They'll, you know, one dad to another, they're like, you have to have a doula. They're amazing. They're, you know, they take the total pressure off of you having to be everything, and you can just focus on loving your wife or loving your partner. And so it is, you know, they highly recommend hiring doulas. I love the dads. They're great.
Wow, and then you use clinical a lot when you're describing midwife, and if I were a parent, I would try to get less of the clinical in my birth of my child and more of the caring and love and support and encouragement and prayer and all the amazing other things that they may not be so adept at spending their time with or focusing on.
Right.
Now, besides your doula services, what else does Graceful Birth offer to people going through this birthing, pregnancy, being parents? What else can you offer, or what else do you offer parents?
Well, I was telling you before, really being a doula is very much a part-time job. It's something that you can do maybe a couple of births a month. And so I naturally started to look into different things that we could offer, or I could offer, laboring women or pregnant women. And so there was just the natural choice to me was teaching childbirth education classes. So actually having couples in a group environment or in private classes and starting to prepare them prenatally for a natural childbirth experience. So I went and did my training for that through CAPA Canada and have been teaching classes for over a year now. And I actually didn't know I would love it so much, but I really love it. I was quite nervous before my first few classes, before my first class, but it became very natural to me, and I really enjoyed working with a group of couples towards this journey in learning about childhood.
Oh, wow.
and equipping them with things that they may not, information they may not get in your standard hospital class.
Right.
You know, little things that they walk away with, you know, and if they can walk away with one thing that they can say, wow, that really, that's a really interesting fact, something that I'm really going to apply to my birth, then I feel really great. And so we offer that service, so childbirth education services. I work in a team of doulas, and so I have a postpartum doula that also works for us, and she's phenomenal, and she does postpartum care. And so a doula is a labor doula, but there's also postpartum doula. So once you have your baby, oftentimes, again, because in North American society, sometimes the families live so far apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the saying that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It's very difficult to do that in North America. And so a postpartum doula comes in, and she offers baby and mom support by offering to support with breastfeeding or bottle feeding, if that's the choice of the family. She helps to change the baby, take care of the baby, bathe the baby. She's really there to help transition that couple into parenthood. So it's not her doing all the work. It's her doing the work with the family. Sometimes it is her doing the work and providing that family with a little bit of rest because it's a really big process. It's a really big transition period in a person's life for that first child. And so she's there to walk alongside them and to gently bring them through transition into parenthood.
Right.
And
because
she also does
about,
a little bit of, she does
learning
a
about
little
these
bit
things in a class is probably different than doing it live.
Oh, absolutely. And you forget half of it, right? So you do. You forget probably more than half of it. So so having somebody come alongside you and they do other things. So they do a little bit of house cleaning. They do a little bit of cooking, if you like, grocery shopping, running errands. But you know, their main responsibility is there to be with the mom and with the baby and help out at home. So.
Wow. And that sounds like as much being as much importance as before having the baby, especially your first one, because that's when the fun begins, and you have to learn about, you know, breastfeeding doesn't come so easily sometimes, and you don't want to be doing a diaper where it's leaking down a leg, and yeah, you don't want to be doing things wrong, and you could have the depression that comes with it. So, so many issues afterwards that are as important as preparing for having the baby. Grace, I just want to end. I didn't ask you this, but I just feel I want to mention, you had mentioned the tragic circumstance, and it's probably one of the most difficult things, even myself, that I've lived through. Your husband got killed in an accident a number of years ago. I think you said 9, and what I talk a lot about on is learning from adversity and defeat. And I know very little, but I know that when that happened, and I came into church the Sunday immediately after, you could have heard a pin drop. It was not the usual experience, you know, we have in our church where you have to drag people from the foyer into the service. And then I know from just a little bit afterwards that you were loved on and helped and supported and cared for. And I know also as well that I was just starting to go to the church at that time, and he was the very, very first person that came and talked to me and welcomed me, and he introduced me to 3 or 4 people, David Amaya, Finley, and a few others that, you know, are good friends and good members of our church. And so a horribly, horribly difficult experience. Now, I remember that he had just accepted the Lord like just a very short time before that, And so we rejoiced a little bit about that,
mm-hmm.
but it was so hard. And so tell me about what being a member of a loving, caring, giving church and how that helped you get through what must have been just a mind-numbingly difficult experience.
Yeah, it was. It was a very challenging time in my life and a time of a lot of soul-searching and a lot of questioning. And often those times that people either run to God, run alongside Him, or run away from Him. And
yeah.
I had the awesome support, as you mentioned, of a fantastic church. It was a great family. I had my family as well that was fantastic, but in addition to that, I had a church family that provided things that, you know, my family couldn't provide at the time, which was spiritual support. And the spiritual support was something that I believe carried me through and made me stronger at the end. And so, well, I wouldn't say at the end because I'm still here and to move forward and stronger. So it was that family that prayed over us physically, like actually every Sunday and sometimes midweek, that met our physical needs, you know, by bringing food for months, by doing just regular tasks like cutting my lawn or bringing me groceries or playing with my kids, you know, considering I had, you know, three children, one of which was 6 months old. You know, they were there to provide, you know, cleaning my house and doing things like that. So I can't imagine. When I think back at that time, I know for a fact that the church is really the moving hand of Christ. The church is doing God's work here on earth, and I experienced that firsthand. They were the vessel of Christ, and so when I would cry out for a prayer, the answer would come. You know, I couldn't get all the answers at the time, but as time unfolded, you know, God can make really, really, really great things out of really, really bad things. And so I don't like the saying, things happen for a reason. I don't like that saying.
No.
I prefer to look at it as you can take bad things and make really good things come out of them. So.
Amen. And so many people these days talking bad about being a churches and being a member of a church, they tend to look at it as, what can the church do for me? But it is not that. It is about being a member of a caring family so that what you can do to
mm-hmm.
help the members of your church, not what the church can do for you, but who is hurting, who is hungry, who is homeless, who is sick that I can visit, encourage, talk to, help some way financially or doing chores for them. And when you look at it that way, that is the real church that loves on their people during the really, really difficult times. And that was, even to me, I could see it, even though I didn't know all of the things that were happening. I knew that, okay, she's going to experience more love than she ever has. And you could not run away from God at that point because you
That's
had
right.
so many Christians in your house all the time. And I know after I've had a lot of surgeries, geez, I almost had to buy like a second fridge from all the meals I would get. I'd have people showing up for lunch and dinner with like enough food for a week. I have to try and find space in my fridge, my freezer. I have to invite people to come over, help me eat this stuff. And that was just a way that people could show their love, show their caring, show a way for them to help. And if people think of church that way, I think more people would come out and less people would, you know, badmouth being a member of a church. And we have an amazing community like that, don't we, at Heartland in Mississauga?
Yeah, we absolutely do.
And then also just a brief mention that Marriage Enrichment Group that you and Danny started and were leading really, really love that as well. And so these are amazing things that you can find at our church and good churches. Thank you so much for your time today, Grace. Very informative. It's probably the most exciting thing people can have happen to them in their life to give birth, but also so many misconceptions, challenges, and various different ideas. And so thank you so much for sharing all that information. Now I know what a doula is, and I really like the idea of it so much. And as you said, it's something that can really, really help parents, even as you said, about the husbands being the ones that refer you to other people. I imagine not just the mothers, this is can be a stressful experience, but for husbands as well.
Well, thank you so much, Tom.
I appreciate it so much, and good luck with all that you're doing. I know you're making a huge difference into a lot of families, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate
Take
the
care.
Time. Thank you. Bye-bye.